Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A lot of you are thinking about your student loan debts during the pandemic. I mean, think about this. At one point, they said, okay, we'll forgive your loan payments. I think it was for 6 months. Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm joins us to talk about the education loans all the time. Hey, Ray, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, John. Great. Thank you so much.
Is that true? Wasn't there forgiveness of loans for 6 months when the pandemic started?
Yeah. So essentially, they put the Department of Education put everybody's loans that were owned by the Department of Ed into an administrative forbearance, which essentially means no interest was accruing on your loans from March 13th, and that's going to be all the way through September 30th of 2020. So that includes all loans that are owned by the Department of Ed. So essentially, as long as you have direct loans or Parent Plus loans, those are all in forbearance. You don't need to make any payments on those. So it was a really nice little break so that people just didn't have to make any payments or worry about their loans growing for that whole period.
If you're one of those people that's been taking advantage of that, I'd love to hear from you. How much money are you not sending out the window? I mean, I don't know what the average student loan payment is, but I'm going to guess it's north of $300, $400, right?
Oh, absolutely. And for a lot of our clients, some of the payments were even higher. So it was a really nice break from payments, but those payments are going to have to resume as of October 2020. So we just need to make sure that, or you have to make sure that you're enrolled in the right plan, and public sector loan forgiveness is an option or something that you're going for. That's very important as well.
Unless the government decides to extend that again. In that, though, say they don't, and so in that seventh month in October, do I just pick up the next payment? I don't owe the previous 6 months, do I?
No, not at all. It was just a complete suspension. So you just start making the payments as usual as you were before.
And do the missing 6 months get added onto the back of the loan, or are they forgiven?
They're forgiven. They're just, it's essentially just the loans were frozen. No interest payments, nothing. So it's just a frozen 6 months where no payments accrued and no payments are due. So they're not getting you back on the back end of these loans either.
Which is different, I think, than some home loans. I mean, I think that on home loans, if you had forbearance, the bank would still ask you to make the payment. You just got 6 more months added to the 30 years, say, on your note.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay, but Ray, I always scratch my head because then, like, somebody is owed money. Terry Savage said yesterday, it's the federal government. Well, okay, but the federal government is, I guess, me. I mean, that money came from somewhere. Where does this money that isn't being paid back come from?
You know, I heard the show yesterday, and I love Terry, and I agree with her on most things, except for on federal student loans. I really delved very deeply into the statute and the law that governs these loans. So essentially what happened was the Higher Education Act is the law that governs all federal student loans, and that includes Parent Plus loans. Congress, and I read the notes before the law was even being passed, so I know what the reasoning was behind the statute. Congress decided that if they wanted to encourage people to go into the public sector, meaning to become doctors, nurses, fire, police officers,
teachers,
yeah, all that stuff. So what they said was, you're going to probably have to take out a lot of federal student loans, but we'll help you out if you go to work in the public sector. Then you can work in the public sector for 10 years, make 120 payments. They don't even have to be consecutive payments. Even if the payments are very low, at the end of that 120-month period, the entire balance plus all the interest will be forgiven, and now that forgiveness is also tax-free. So there was an incentive to do it, and the incentive was to encourage people to go into the public sector and to go into these jobs. But, you know, knowing that you're going to have to take out some federal student loans to get there, it was Congress's way of helping students out. And so, you know, quite a few people have federal student loans who don't go into the public sector. More actually have student loans that go into the private sector. And those loans all get paid off. And as we know, they're not interest-free loans. However, the loan rates, the interest rates have been lowered. So for federal Parent Plus loans, Terry was mentioning that it's over 5%, and that is true. However, in most cases, it does make more sense to take out federal Parent Plus loans, certainly, than taking out a private student loan or taking out a home equity line of credit.
She disagrees with you, I think, on that last point. Let me just play for you a couple of clips from yesterday. This is Terry Savage, the financial columnist, who joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch on Wednesdays. You hear her on with Rokan and Bob Surratt. She's a force in Chicago. You see her in the Tribune as well. Let's just play the first cut, Elif. This is Terry Savage talking about student loans generally.
I'm a government employee, so I know that there's some sort of a program for government employees that student loans are forgiven after 10 years of employment. So I didn't know if that applied to Parent Plus loans, and does my previous 15 years of government service apply, or does it have to be 10 years from now?
The loans that are given, student loans that are taken out and meet certain requirements of public service that the student does after graduation, can be forgiven after 10 years. However, that program has been demonstrated to be a dismal failure, and out of thousands and thousands, many thousands of applicants, only about 685 loans have been forgiven.
I was shocked to hear that. We'll pause here. And Ray, tell me if that's your understanding as well. Ray, just before the break, Terry Savage said that she doesn't think that whole loan forgiveness program works. Less than 1,000 people have ever actually been able to use that. Well, what did you make of that line of hers?
Yes, and I understand why Terry thinks that. However, anyone who doubts me can go right over to studentaid.gov, which is the website run by the Department of Education. And if you go under Parent Plus Loans or apply for Parent Plus Loans, it'll tell you that they are eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. So we have a lot of clients who take out huge federal Parent Plus Loans to finance their kids' educations. And the reason why I really like them, as opposed to taking out a home equity line of credit or taking out a private loan, is because the statute, the law, provides so much flexibility. So some of our clients who are retired and have not a whole lot of retirement income other than Social Security and maybe a small pension, even though they owe on a big federal Parent Plus loan, they're only going to pay back maybe $100 a month until the balance is forgiven. So they only wind up paying back a percentage, because the federal statute mandates that the amount that you pay back is based on a formula. For Parent Plus loans, it's 20% of your discretionary income, which for most people is a very, very low monthly payment. And the other really nice thing about them is that if you are a teacher or a firefighter or a policeman or you work in the public sector, Parent Plus loans are eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. So you can take out all of the loans to finance your kids' education, and after 120 payments, balance will be wiped out.
Here is line three. This is Brenda. You're on WGN with Ray Kaplan. Brenda, what's your question?
Hi, Ray. You may have just answered it. For the public sector, is it the child in which you took the loans out, or is it the parent on the Parent Plus?
So for the Parent Plus loan borrower, the parent, in order to get public sector loan forgiveness of their loans, the parent must be employed in the public sector. For the student who has their own federal student loans, they are the ones that have to be employed in the public sector. So let's say you, as the parent, took out Parent Plus loans, and you want to make sure the public sector loan forgiveness is applied after 120 payments, you have to be employed in the public sector. And it has to be full-time, and you can't be an independent contractor. You have to actually be a salaried employee.
And does it have to be for 10 consecutive years you have to be in the public sector employment?
No, it does not have to be consecutive, just after 120 qualifying payments. So if you put your loans into forbearance, those months won't count. And the reason why people get denied is because they put their loans into forbearance and they think they might have 120 payments, but maybe they weren't working full time or maybe they were an independent contractor. So there are some things that you have to watch out for. But otherwise, the statute is very straightforward, and we always make sure that our clients are qualifying payments and that they're on track and they get their public sector loan forgiveness. And the nice thing is it's not a taxable event. So you don't get taxed on that amount that's forgiven, which is really nice.
And then secondly, are service years in the public sector prior to the loan applicable to the 120 payments?
No. So the payments are only going to...
Darn, said a lot of people. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. But no, the payments... So the payments that are going to start counting towards that magic 120 only start when the loans come due. And you have to be in the right payment plan. And this is where people get messed up. You can't go into the extended graduated payment plan, which offers a really, really low monthly payment. You have to go into an income-based payment plan. And if you have Parent PLUS loans, the only loan that qualifies or the only payment plan that qualifies is the income contingent repayment plan. And that's based on a formula based on your gross income. And the other thing people always ask me about, which is a little kind of a strange thing about the statute, but it doesn't even have to be your income and your spouse's. It can just be your income that they calculate that payment on.
So your advice is put that loan in the name of the person with the lowest amount of income, right?
Absolutely. So if we have a client who's thinking about taking out Parent PLUS loans to finance their kids' education, and let's say the mom makes $100,000 and the dad makes $50,000, we want the dad, whoever's making less money, to be the Parent PLUS loan borrower because the statute mandates that the payments are going to be based on the borrower's income. So those payments are going to be much less, and you're going to get much more forgiveness.
I hope that helps, Brenda.
It does. May I ask one more question, clarification?
Yeah.
Sure. The deferment that is happening right now, the payments that you would have paid from March to September, you said are forgiven. So does your principal reduce those dollar amounts?
So if right now are you in forbearance right now? Because you should be because of COVID-19.
We are, but we're continuing to pay because we're in a position to do so.
Oh, okay. Well, so those payments will still count towards public sector loan forgiveness. And here's the thing. Even if you did not make payments, those non-payments for this six-month period would still count towards public sector loan forgiveness. That's how good the CARES Act is, and that's how nice the overall statute is.
Yeah. Brenda, good luck. Thanks for the call. And if you all have questions, remember you can call Ray Kaplan. You can visit her website, by the way, and that's financialrelief.com, financialrelief.com. Line 4 has a question, Elif. Okay, let's talk to Lou. You're on WGN. Hi, Lou.
Hi, John. Hey, one thing I'm noticing in this conversation is to keep using the words qualify for loan forgiveness, but I haven't heard anybody say how many people actually get it, and that might be the difference between what these two people are saying
right,
on the phone now.
Interesting question. Thanks for the call. How do you respond to that, Ray?
Yeah, that's a good point. The whole problem with public sector loan forgiveness is that most people don't really know what all is necessary to get there. What do I need to have happening? And three things have to be happening simultaneously for 120 payments. And this applies if you're a Parent PLUS loan borrower as well. You have to have the right type of loans. So you can have Parent PLUS loans or direct loans. So you have to have the right type of loans. You have to have the right type of job, full-time public sector employment, and you have to be in the right type of payment plan. So those three things have to be happening for all 120 payments.
Yeah.
And you have to be certifying your employment as well. So there's, you know, some things to do in order to be in compliance with the statutes, but otherwise it's straightforward and you're eligible for it. We can get it for you.
You didn't say income cap. That is, I could make $1 million a year and still be eligible?
No, it depends. So the amount of your loans, it has to be basically more than your income. So there is a calculation to qualify for an income-driven payment plan, but 95% of people qualify. I have doctors on income-driven payment plans that are making $500,000 a year. So most people qualify for income-driven payment plans.
Okay. It's 10:26 on WGN. I'm running out of time here. Elif says take line two, but I want to play just one more sound bite. So let's play number two, Elif. And this is, again, Terry Savage from yesterday.
Parents can take out PLUS loans. Those are the most expensive, worst loans possible. I would suggest you take out a home equity loan.
Yeah, I have to say, I just completely disagree with Terry on that because, again, the statute has so much flexibility that if, God forbid, you lose your job, we can put you in a $0 monthly payment plan until the balance
okay,
is forgiven.
But that notwithstanding, the Parent PLUS loan is going to be 5%, and that's the new low rate. I can get money out of my house. David Hochberg will give it to me at 3%. So shouldn't I borrow against my home equity rather than take out this other loan?
No, you shouldn't, because even though the interest rate is a little bit higher with federal Parent PLUS loans, it doesn't matter because you're not going to wind up paying it. In 90% of the cases, you don't even pay the interest that's accrued. All of it is forgiven in most cases. So while normally that is a good strategy, I always want people to find the loans that have the lowest interest rate. When we're talking about federal Parent PLUS loans or federal loans in general, it's a whole different calculus. And in most cases, it makes far more sense to take out a federal Parent PLUS loan than it does to take out a private loan or a home equity loan. Build up that equity in your house. Build up as much equity as you can, because with the federal loans, you likely are not going to pay them back. They'll be forgiven.
I'm out of time, Ray.
Okay.
My phone lines are all lit up. All I can say is, what's the phone number at your office, Ray Kaplan?
My office is 312-294-8989, and we'd be happy to help anybody because, honestly, there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of misinformation out there, especially about federal Parent PLUS loans, and it really is such a great tool to have in order to figure out how to finance your kids' education.
312-294-8989, or remember financialrelief.com. Thanks, Ray. Stay well.
Thank you, John. You too.